Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. One of the most historic neighborhoods in our area is Meacham Park. The history is rich and varied. It's not always a pleasant story to tell. An 18-month community project focusing on Meacham Park is winding down. It involved young and old members of the community, a collaboration between Webster Arts Springboard to Learning and the Repertory Theater of St. Louis. The project is called Connecting Community Through the Arts. With me in the studio is Marcia Copeland, Director of Education at the Repertory Theater of St. Louis. Joining us by phone is Jean Vogel, Executive Director of Webster Arts. Thank you both, ladies, so much for being with us. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you for having us.
Good old Meacham Park. Let me begin with you, Marcia, and give me some sense of what this project is all about. It's multifaceted and a lot of different units participating.
It's a really wonderful project. As you said, it's been 18 months in the making, and it connected generations, it connected people of different communities and some organizations that usually don't collaborate. So we started with students at Nifer Middle School in the Kirkwood area, a journalism class that did anecdotal interviews with everyone from high school to Mrs. Haley, who I don't think would mind me saying she's 94 and was the first black teacher in Kirkwood, to look at what is their experience, what was their experience. It was both white and black members of the community that had connections to Meacham Park. Yeah. And through these interviews, the students learned about their history, their living history now, and they wrote these interviews up, which we have put in a book, along with their reactions to this experience and what they have learned. And to tell you the truth, I'd be willing to stop there and call it a success after reading what has opened their eyes to people they thought were different and are not different, or stories they've heard. And then the second part of it is we took their work and gave that to some visual artists and some writers. And they have created some gorgeous visual art and some wonderful poetry and choral readings. And those we put together in the celebration next Monday.
Right. We'll talk more about that specifically. But this is going to also make its way to the stage, right, at the Rep?
The celebration will be on the stage. We are doing it at the Rep, but it's also part of a documentary that will be available nationally to help other communities know how to use arts to connect generations and communities.
Jean, let me turn to you with regard to Webster Arts and its role in all of this. How exactly have you participated?
We've been really strong partners with the Rep, and I've been so grateful to the Rep to include us in this project. When Marcia came to me about 18 months ago and said, "Is this something you would be interested in?" I said immediately yes, because this is a way of bridging communities, bridging organizations. Our role was to bring people into the project to be interviewed and then to find the creative artists who would turn those stories, that source material, into art that we will share with the community in the future. So when you say the project is winding down, we're just getting started.
Well, good for you. Jean, why Meacham Park?
You know, when we were looking at different organizations to work with, the Meacham Park Neighborhood Improvement Association was so enthusiastic about the idea, and they became a wonderful natural partner with us. So it was a good story to tell.
And if I can jump in here, it's living history. It is, these kids are in these neighborhoods now. These are their friends and neighbors. So it wasn't something for the future. It wasn't something of the past. It's their life right now.
And they're learning about a lot of things through Meacham Park because its history, as I mentioned in the introduction, has been somewhat varied. There's been highs and certainly some lows. How do they react to that?
I have to congratulate Jean on the people she found because they were very generous with their stories. They were very honest with their stories. And when you read in the book a lot of the reactions from the kids, there's a lot of, "I didn't know. Nobody told me, or I hadn't thought about it this way." So it's not aggressive. It's not putting anyone on the defensive, but it is being honest about what happened and how people felt.
I have to echo what Marcia is saying, because when we start a project like this, we're going to learn things that we didn't expect, and there are going to be outcomes that we couldn't anticipate. And that's one of the benefits of collaborations like this. And I am not ashamed to say, when I read those kids' reflections on their interviews, I teared up more than once. These kids had profound new understandings of people and really learned how to create bridges to other communities. They had clearly been taught, some of them had clearly been taught, either from the community, from wherever they were picking things up, that Meacham Park was not a place they wanted to go. And they learned that their misconceptions and stereotypes were completely wrong.
That
was the best part.
Can you elaborate, Jean, somewhat on some of the things that the kids did learn and tell you and write about?
And I think all of the reflections are in the book. Is that right, Marcia?
Yes.
That we can all read them. But children would say, I mean, these are 13, 14-year-old kids, and they would say things like, I was always told never to go to Meacham Park, and I don't know why that's true because these are wonderful people. Or I've been told it was a scary place, and it's not a scary place at all. And, you know, it's very clear that our community has serious misconceptions about people in different communities. And I think the thing I'm proudest of right now is that these students have learned that their misconceptions are something they need to examine on a daily basis.
I think
we've bridged some communities.
Yeah, I'll support what Jean is saying, because a lot of the statements are, they always told me this, or I always heard or thought this, but now I've met these people, and they're nice, and they're like me, or this was an important part of my community, and I didn't know.
But you're making it sound like these are white kids learning about a predominantly African-American community. But I know it was a mixed group of kids that had involved. So how are the black kids reacting, and how are the white kids reacting?
If you look at the reactions, a lot of them are, I didn't know how important this community was. I didn't know the story of this community. And I have met these people, black and white, and I admire them so much. And what I really love about it is a lot of them go into, so this is what I can do to make things better, or this is what I can tell people from what I've learned. And making that connection of, maybe I don't listen to what everybody tells me and I find out for myself.
One of the saddest go ahead, Jean.
I was just going to say that I'm so grateful for the people who shared their stories, because a lot
yes.
of them were not easy. But it wasn't just people of color who were sharing their stories. There were also white people who were sharing their stories. We had a strong mix of people who were willing to share what they knew or what they experienced about Meacham Park. And that added quite a bit of depth to the project.
One of the saddest stories out of Meacham Park recently was the horrific shooting in the
yes.
city hall in Kirkwood. Basically, it had its genesis in Meacham Park. Cookie Thornton, who was the shooter in that mm-hmm. particular case, felt discriminated against, as I recall the story, in Meacham Park. Is that something that the kids would get into during this project?
It did come up in
yeah.
some. It's part of the history.
Sure.
And there are people that, as they were telling their story, told about those events and its connection to them, or learning about it later. So it was part of the history.
Jean?
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Marcia.
Right.
There are also other stories that people don't forget. I mean, everybody focuses on that one, and I understand why. But there were also lots of stories that people just simply don't know about. For example, that most of the homes in Meacham Park did not have sewer or water until the 1970s. Or how the community had been isolated from some public services, or how the business district was kind of swallowed up, and a lot of people lost their businesses. Now there's good and bad and all of that, but those are stories of everyday lives that kind of transcend one incident.
For the students to hear Mrs. Haley say that when they had a staff Christmas party, she had to call the restaurant to see if she could eat there.
Hmm.
Is not something that ever occurred to them in their world. So it really gave them a sense of, oh, wait a minute, there's stuff I don't think about.
J- Jean, I thought go ahead, Jean.
That responded with most of that resonated with most of the artists to the story of Johnetta Haley, because she was a choir teacher who created nationally recognized choirs. They got lots of awards. She tried to take the kids out for ice cream one time after they won a competition, and she wasn't allowed to go in the door to get the kids ice cream. And those are stories that really resonated with the artists and the students.
A lot of stories of discrimination have come out of the Meacham Park story. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. Another one that that I recall is the fact that a lot of the territory was lost so that the Kirkwood area could blossom commercially, and the people of Meacham Park were not the beneficiaries of that.
One of the parts of this project is the kids went on a tour of the Meacham Park area with Pastor Ike, who was so gracious to be a tour guide, and actually saw what it used to be and what it is now. But one of the things we feel is really important about this project and why we're excited about the documentary as well is these are all stories directly related to Meacham Park. But there are a lot of communities that have these same stories. So it's not isolated in Kirkwood and Meacham Park. It is a story, and hopefully it will be generalized to other places.
That, Jean, that's why I asked why Meacham Park, because as Marcia has just indicated, and we've certainly gone through the last couple of years, ample evidence that there are communities here that are in some pain and in need of some attention with regard to the things we're talking about here.
We do have to get to answer that question, too, we have to thank the Kirkwood School Districts and particularly the administration at Nifer Middle School, because it was a big commitment. This is an 18-month project, so it was a big commitment for them to do, and they were willing to come on board with us.
Jane, where are we now in this 18-month project? I was under the impression it was sort of over, but you indicated a few minutes ago that it's really, in many ways, the beginning.
Well, the reason I think it's the beginning partly is because we have we've created art. Artists have created art based on these stories, and that art will be going into the community on permanent loan in different places. So we want this to continue, and we hope that, as art always does, it communicates ideas to people, and people will see these pieces of art and want to know why they were created. The other thing I think the reason we're just getting started is the impact we've made in people's lives. That this is going to continue to carry forth. And I'm certainly hopeful that we'll have more collaborations with the Rep and Springboard. We haven't really talked about Springboard. Springboard to Learning was the organization that coordinated all the educational pieces in the schools, and they were extraordinary. We needed every single partner in this project to bring it to fruition.
And there was some funding involved from outside sources that was very important to it, obviously.
Doris Duke Foundation, administered by Theater's Communication Group, gave us the funding to do it as a cohort grant. So it had to be three organizations that were willing to work together to make this happen.
Okay, so where do we go from here? If this is just the beginning and there are other communities in need, is this something that you can foresee continuing in those other areas?
Well, one of the things TCG was, one of the reasons they were giving these grants was to hope to come up with pilot projects that could go other places. So we will have our celebration on Monday night, but we also have the book that we've created of all the writings and the art, and we will have a documentary, about a 15-minute documentary of This Is How We Did It, that will be available to any community.
And what about your organization, Jan? You see that participating in similar projects?
Absolutely. And Webster Arts has always been very committed to collaboration, and we're working with other communities and other organizations in the community. And this is the best way we can find to bring art and discussion to the world.
The book is available where, Marcia? You have a copy in front of you there?
I do have a copy. It will go to all of the participants. It will be available at the Kirkwood Library to be seen. It'll be in the school district. We don't have plans to distribute it, but we printed enough that if some people are interested in having copies.
Okay, one more time. Let's go over what's happening Monday at the Rep, because it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. On Monday at 10:30, all of the 7th and 8th graders from Nifer Middle School will come to see the event. that is started with the work of their cohorts. But the big event for the community is at 6:30 Monday night on the 25th at the REP, and we will have a presentation. The visual art will be the backdrop. We will have poetry, dance, music, storytelling, and then that will be followed by a reception afterwards in the lobby so people can talk to the participants and also talk about their experience.
Yeah, well, as you indicate, this is undoubtedly going to have an impact on these youngsters and many adults, too, for a long time
to
come.
We hope so.
A final thought in just a second or two, if you would, Jing?
I think we need to see more kind of collaborations like this, because this is the best way that we can talk to each other, and this is the best way that we can find our strengths and share those.
All right. I want to thank you both so much for being with us. Marcia Copeland, thank you. Director of Education at the Repertory Theater of St. Louis, and Jean Vogel is Executive Director of Webster Arts. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll have information about all of this on our website, by the way. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at the legal issues raised by the demonstrations following the Stockley verdict. We'll also talk with St. Louis Symphony Music Director David Robertson as the orchestra begins its 138th season and its 50th in Powell Hall. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.